Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and believe it or not, I'm actually joined by one of my co-hosts today. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much. Just got home a little while ago and getting ready to go to sleep in about an hour and then make a road trip to Austin, Texas for this month's Wrestle Circus, which will actually be the first ever pay-per-view of the company.
Oh, really? What's on the show?
Let's see here. The championship is going to be Brian Cage of Lucha Underground defending the Circus Championship against Zack Sabre Jr., who they're bringing in from England. The actual main event, I guess, is going to be Ricochet against this local kid, Sammy Guevara, who's incredibly talented, but he's a fucking douchebag in real life. But this should be an awesome match. They're having a three-way women's match between Rachel Ellering, Chelsea Green, who was the physical trainer that had the affair with Daniel Bryan that got slapped. And Sexy Star. Let's see what else. They're having I forget how many teams. I think there's like a five-team battle royal, and the last two guys in the match, then their partners rejoin them, and then they're going to have a match to determine the tag champions, and that's got teams like the Gorillas of Destiny, which are basically the Sons of Ming. And I don't know why they don't call themselves Sons of Ming. I mean, Gorillas of Destiny is actually a cool name, but you're the Sons of fucking
Sons
Ming.
Of Ming is
call
more,
yourself that.
Is more intimidating.
Yeah, yeah. What else? It was supposed to be Lance Hoyt and Davey Boy Jr., but Hoyt's hurt, so it's Davey Boy and this local guy, Carson, and... there's this one team called Extra Talented, which is a Landstorm student named Aaron Solo and a local guy named Ricky Starts, who they're actually pretty good. Oh, the boys. The boys are in the match from ROH with Belton Castle, the dudes with the fans and the feathers. And then Keith Lee and Shane Taylor are in the match. And I'm trying to think if there's anybody else in that match. Joey Ryan is taking on Scott Norton. So I guess we'll have a battle between Scott Norton's wrestling arm and Joey Ryan's dick, and we'll find out who's stronger, the dick or the arm wrestler.
That sounds weird. Just Scott Norton against Joey Ryan. I don't know why.
Well, they usually have, like, weird stuff going on in these shows. So, and then Leva is, I don't know what she's doing. I just know she's going to be on the show. Let's see. They have like fucking 12, 13 matches every show. I just can't think of everything offhand. and stuff. But believe it or not, even though we're doing a show on a Sunday, which we've never done, and doing it at 6 in the morning, which we've never really done, we actually got a caller on the line. You want me to take it?
Might as well.
All right, let's see what we got here. Caller calling from area code 510. Who's this? Hello,
yeah,
caller. Well, I guess they don't want to be on, so I'm just going to take them back off the air. Maybe they're just listening on their phone. And,
okay.
Can I just put them on, put them back on hold? How do you do that? I might have to cut them. If you're listening on your phone, just call back. Anyway, what was I talking about? I could actually find out.
I realized what time it was. Time to go be asleep.
Right? But yeah, these shows are usually pretty fun, and this is just their one, two, three, four. This is either their sixth show maybe, and they're doing high pay per views already, so they're doing all right. They always bring in a shitload of names on the show, which is cool of me because that's the more you get to see. And stuff. I'm trying to find their Twitter page here, and then I can run down the rest of the card. But let's see here. Fucking computer takes fucking forever. But yeah, they usually have. Okay, here it is. They're having. Let's see. That one already said. That one. They're having a high flyers match, which will have. Ray Phoenix, Sean Strickland, who is Killshot from Lucha Underground, and another guy who's kind of known. Let's see here. Oh, now that just made the goddamn picture smaller. Oh, well. Let's see here. They're having ACH against Jeff Cobb, and... couple other matches. Anyway, the fucking poster gets smaller when you actually click on the poster instead of getting bigger on Twitter. It's weird. But it should be bad. It's totally a sold-out show, and it should be good. And then the iPay-per-view is only $10, so it's not like it cost anything, really. But, yeah, anyway, that's what I'm doing. What the hell happened to
me? Okay.
My computer's acting all weird. Now I lost the fucking Blog Talk. What do you call it? Fucking studio. All right, there it is. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. So I'm driving down there, going to the show, and if everything goes as planned, I'll be having dinner with Leva, Rachel Ellering, and Chelsea Green after the show, if everything goes according to plan, which hopefully it will.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know. You haven't been on, and I don't even know how long. What the hell you been up to?
Not too much. Just existing.
Just existing?
Yeah.
Well, you're existing a little more than Craig, because Craig still has... I don't even remember how long it's been since Craig's been on the show. It's probably been, fucking months.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, right now it is 4 o'clock his time, so there's probably no way in hell he was doing this one. He didn't even respond to the thing. But anyway, there's a lot of shit to talk about. It's there was a while where it seemed like every week we were talking about a new dead person, and that's kind of hasn't been as bad the last year or two, but it seems like this past week or 2 weeks, everybody's dying, seems like.
I know. Every time I go to the Observer site, there's a picture of somebody who's dead, passed away.
Yeah. Yeah, first Chavo, and then George the Animal Steel, and then Nicole Bass, and then Ivan Koloff. And then
mm-hmm.
Koloff died on with the anniversary of a whole shitload of other people dying because Kerry Von Erich died. Yesterday was that date. Eddie Gilbert. bunch of fucking other people.
Andre died in 93 this month, 1993.
Yeah.
Dino Bravo.
Yeah. What was that one guy, Larry Sweeney? He died also. Yeah, it's been crazy. So who do you want to talk about first?
We'll start with the first one, which would be Chavo Senior, Chavo Classic. He died of he died. There's so many on here. I had to pull up all these pages to see what these people died from. Liver cancer. He died from a short battle with liver cancer at 68 years old. I think the first time I saw him was probably 86, and when he was working, he worked pretty much all of 86, most of 87 in Mid-South UWF. That's where I mostly saw him. So always very good. I think he was probably – I think Eddie was the best of them, but I think he was right behind Eddie of the Guerreros.
Yeah. The first time I had ever heard of him was one of the very first wrestling magazines that I bought. And it was more of a picture book than a magazine. It just had like a shitload of photos. And they had a photo of the million-dollar Mexican Chavo Guerrero, which I guess it would have been when he was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
against Roddy Piper. I never saw that, but I heard that was supposed to be pretty good.
I remember seeing him shaving Piper's head from the hair match. I remember that.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember the first time I would have seen him, because it'd all be close, because I used to see him in Southwest, and I used to see him in World Class, and I saw him in Mid-South. And in World Class, he was in that Cowboy Scott Casey position, Iceman Parsons, right under the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
Like, they would main event a lot of times against, like, the Freebirds or Jimmy Garvin or whatever, but they would usually, like, lose to them, but they would always either, like, team with the Von Erichs, or they would be, like, right below. They were just right below. So that's what he was a babyface in World Class, and he was a babyface in Mid-South, and then I saw him as a heel and a babyface in Southwest. And he was actually really good as a heel, him and Al Madrero. Were an awesome heel team. This is when Southwest was pretty much dead and was like on its last legs. And they even did an angle where they were like a team. Remember, they even had this one manager named Fantasy. And there was, I forgot the whole story, but basically they were having a match with, it was Al Madrero against somebody, maybe the babyface champion, maybe Scott Casey, somebody like that. But the referee, they had a special referee, and it was Gory Guerrero. And after the match, Al Madrero beat the shit out of Gory Guerrero, and that, like, caused a turn for Chavo to go back babyface, since Al beat up his dad and stuff. So he was always real good. He was the first – I don't know if he's the first person to do it, but he's the first person that I ever saw do an actual moonsault, because Tiger Mask never did an actual moonsault. He did a moonsault press where he was
start off
as a backflip and turn into, like, a body press, but – Chavo was the first one that ever did the full backflip.
Yeah. And I remember seeing Lanny Poffo, but he's the weird thing where he put his feet on the second and top rope and kind of kicked off, doing kind of like a moonsault. But, yeah, Chavo did the first big moonsault block, press or whatever you want to call it. He was like one of the first, doing all the Mexican maneuvers and stuff like that I ever saw, the Lucha Libre type stuff, which wouldn't look impressive to anybody today, probably. But, back then, it's like, holy shit, what's this guy doing? So.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to move, like two-thirds of the moves that people use now weren't even invented back then. But basically, his dad is one of the most famous luchadors, because his dad was, like, the tag team partner of El Santo, and then I guess like the enemy of El Santo. And then he had his three brothers, Hector, Mondo, and Eddie. And there was like a big age difference between all of them, especially Eddie, because Eddie was pretty much almost the same age.
Yeah, you were
Chavo Jr.
He was You'd have thought Chavo was like Eddie's uncle or something.
Yeah, yeah, because he was just a little older than Chavo Jr. And
yeah, that's why it was weird that Chavo Jr. was Eddie's nephew. You would have thought they were probably closer to being brothers than the others,
yeah.
You know, just his age.
And they all kind of, well, I guess Hector and Eddie kind of look very similar, but Mondo and Chavo look different than the other ones. And Hector was all right. I mean, I've seen him.
Hector and Chavo were very good at the heel team in Mid-South. I remember them against the Rock and Roll Express. In fact, that they brought like Cornette when they'd gone to World Class. Cornette would come back and do some shots, and he would have that's who he managed with Hector and Chavo. And I remember they worked
the
like
bullets.
Yeah,
the
bandoleros or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I saw them working like the latter stages of the AWA and like AEA, especially at Super Clash with Mondo and Chavo and Hector against like the RPMs and Cactus Jack, I think.
Yeah. The skinny Cactus.
And they were having matches with like a Bad Company on the AWA shows in like Las Vegas and stuff like that, which was pretty much the only decent stuff on AWA TV at the time.
Yeah. And Hector also had an awesome stint as Lasertron on TBS on Saturday nights, where he defeated the long reigning downtown Danny Brown to be the junior heavyweight.
It was
NWA
like 15
champion.
Years before I was probably anybody ever told me that was Hector Guerrero.
Yeah, he had a cool mask and he had like football forearm pads, and he actually had some good matches at Lasertron, and then he was also the infamous Golly Gooker.
Yep.
Which lasted like one day or something before I guess
released. He and in Memphis in late 87, he and Manny Fernandez were like an awesome like heel duo. I mean, he was cutting some incredible promos. You think, why didn't they ever let this guy do any talking or anything? This guy was awesome. I mean,
yeah, he didn't get a lot of promo time, but he would probably be the second best. Well, Chavo was pretty good too, but it's. But Hector had a lot of fire.
Hector was better as a heel than Chavo was, I thought. You know, just a talker and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out there. They're bringing like jalapenos and putting in people's eyes and shit. You know, giving Lance Russell like a hot bowl of chili, Mexican chili or something. And he's bringing out the pinata for Lance to do, and he hits the pinata, but it's full of powder, so. Just powder all over him. And then later in the show, he comes out when Hector's wrestling Jeff Jarrett and interferes with the match, and Jeff Jarrett wins. So.
I didn't see a lot of Mondo. You know, he was in that 1-6, man. But I do remember that. This is okay. Do you remember when Southwest was kind of doing a thing with Georgia?
I never saw my Southwest, so probably not.
Okay. Well, there was like a couple months where they were doing some co-promotions with Georgia. Like, they would bring in Stan Hansen. They would bring in, like, Larry Zbysko. And then, you know, Kelly and Casey would go to Georgia. And they just kind of, like, if Georgia would have some shows, they'd have some Southwest talent. If Southwest had some shows, they'd have some Georgia. Like, they brought in the Mad Dog and Tommy Rich on one of these shows.
Yeah.
And, I just remember for like weeks they're advertising, oh, Mondo Guerrero is coming. Mondo Guerrero is coming. He's going to make his debut at this show, show here in town. So I went to it because, yeah, you know, I wasn't going to miss fucking Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer. So then finally they had this one like jobber guy, Ali Bey the Turk, who was kind of short, chubby dude. He was barefoot. He was actually pretty good, but he was like the Southwest jobber. And, you know, everybody beat him. So finally, they have him come in, and then they bring in Mondo, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be this big showcase match for Mondo. It's probably going to squash Ali Bey, make a big impact on his first match. And he did a lot of cool shit and looked good, but the match ended up being a draw. And I was like, what the fuck? They spent all this time pushing Mondo Guerrero, and he couldn't even beat Ali Bey the Turk. What the fuck, man? And then I guess his big. Mondo's big claim to fame is that he trained the original Glow girls for Glow. And
And I think he trained, like, the women, like, whenever David McClain would come up with something, I think he trained them.
Yeah. And
we got another call on the line. Do you have your studio up, or do I need to press the
button? Yeah, let me. All right, let's see if we can take him. Let's see if this guy's. I'll talk.
Okay.
My fucking keyboard's working like shit. Caller calling from area code 918. Who's this?
Hey. I was listening to your show, and I've listened to it before. It's pretty good. But I'm up early.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just curious, is someone going to develop a character wrestler that will support Trump Nation? Because they're missing out if they don't get that angle.
There's actually been a guy pretty much like that before on, what was that company, Couture? It was a Lucha Libre company, Lucha Libre USA or something like that, where there was a guy who was all about building a wall and getting rid of all the Mexicans. So it was kind of like that. But, yeah, it'll happen.
It's bigger than that, though. You know, someone that really supports Trump. Because you could get a lot of audience participation with it.
Yeah. WWE, they're not going to touch it, but there's going to be some indie groups.
Oh, come on. Just imagine it, you know, the audience saying, tear down that wall, you know. Or, you know, people that support. There'll be people that are very supportive of Trump.
They always kind of had that with Zeb Coulter. And did he kind of do that gimmick?
Kinda. He was not as totally.
They're missing
wacky
out on money,
Trump.
Is my thought. They're missing out.
Well,
on
I mean, it tells you something when you know Trump is in the WWE Hall of Fame and they don't even mention him or
it's true.
That he's a person
yes.
on TV. So, you know, that
they all did. They all went to the White House and took a photo op with him. What this past week? That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought up some old pictures of Trump being in the ring and all that. If someone doesn't take advantage of that and develop a character, you know, like a villain-type character, right, that would be fabulous. The 80s, you know?
Yeah, like let's say this Trump was around being the president in the 80s, it would be perfect. Everyone could do it, but nowadays, it's so PC. Like, if you do something that offends somebody, they go crazy on social media.
But that's
the
new form of being bullied, is being oversensitive, and someone needs to buck the system. Someone
that's
that has
I
some
think,
real balls, if you will, you know, just.
That's kind of why I think Trump won, because of the people who are like that are too sensitive or too PC.
It's a minority,
and people get tired of
and
hearing
I'm so,
it. So they're like, you know, yeah.
I've done some things for social justice. I work in the court system, and you know, I'm just so freaking tired of doing so much and then still getting slammed. It doesn't matter what I say because my skin's so light; it's taken differently, and I'm just sick and tired of it. And there's a lot of America that's sick and tired of it, of this bully. You know, this oversensitive bully. I can't believe you said that word. Did you hear her tone? Yeah, okay, so what? So what if I was pissed off that day? My car's not working right. My kid's talking back. And I snap at you. So what? You know?
Yeah.
That's life. It's real. And I wish the WWE would get back to being real. Because they're not. And I'm talking like back in the 80s where there was no filter. Like,
yeah.
Just try it. You
had
know,
the evil
we're having
Russians,
an 80s flashback day.
Yeah,
you know.
He had the evil Russians, the Sheiks, and all those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember him. And then, of course,
like
that one guy that went, woo, woo, what was his name?
Rick
on the tip of my tongue.
Ric Flair, is that who you're talking about?
Yes, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Man, you know, to have someone like that and then someone that's Trump Nation, you know, he could even take that. You know, use the Trump Nation, his followers, because he believes in the president and the American way. I can hear it. I'm a writer. You know, I mean, just can you hear it?
Yeah, like I say, if it was the 80s, it'd be like the biggest he'd be like the biggest villain, but it's just like nowadays, it's just, I think WWE is just too gun-shy to do something like that. It would have to be
I wish someone would really just take a chance for a change and give us something original, you know, that something that we either all love or all hate. Because you either love Trump or you hate him, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten to the point where an announcer on an indie show, Joey Styles, calling an Evolve show, makes a Trump joke and gets fired for it. So
seriously?
It's like, yeah, that actually happened.
That's just too much.
Yeah. Yeah, he made some reference
to
grabbing.
People need to make a phone call just for his own, I don't know. Freedom of expression only works if you're in a public place. You know, when you're working for an entity, that kind of vanishes. But.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you can only get your freedom of speech restricted if you're inciting a riot or you're threatening to harm a disenfranchised population. You know, those are only two reasons you can get your right to speak taken away. You know, even on a place like Blog Talk Radio, you can get your own server, you know, that only costs $400 or $500, maybe even less if you get a used one, and own your own content. You know, there's lots of different things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very much for free speech and for someone not saying, well, you can't say this, you can't do that, you know, and just to the point where I want to say screw it all, you know. I want my America back.
Mm-hmm. Well, like my favorite announcer is Bobby Heenan, and
yeah?
Bobby Heenan would get like, he'd be like crucified now because he was so racist back in the day, but it was so damn funny when he talked about flying tortillas with Tito Santana and just all this stuff. I mean, it was awesome. But then now he'd do it, then you'd have 100 people on Twitter just fucking crying about it, and just you couldn't have Bobby Heenan who's today.
We have Moon Man videos now. They're so bad, so awful that they're funny. You know, that they're just funny. I don't know if you've ever listened to Moon Man videos, but some of them are just, they're horrible. Or just, all of them basically are horrible, but they're so bad that they are funny. But I just wanted to know your take on, bringing some real reality, you know, because I think that public is ready for something like that now.
Well, I mean, like I say, I personally, I think it would be totally awesome. It's just that people are so gun-shy about, you know, people getting all offended on Twitter. Even though it's a minority, they consider it, you know, they're just too gun-shy to ever do it, in my opinion. It'd have to be like an indie or something small scale that they'd have the balls to do it. Maybe in Mexico.
Well,
Mexico
you own
would
your
do
own
it
content.
They actually have... Yeah, it would have to be like a promoter who like owned his own thing and stuff like that, and he's not afraid.
Right.
The WWE is too—they're too afraid to offend people and lose sponsors.
Yeah,
they're
a public company and stuff like that, you know. So
yeah, so they're kind of—they really can't do it. But yeah, I mean, personally, like I say,
if they own their own content,
awesome.
You know, why couldn't they? That's fear. You know, they're just afraid of failing. Of being blackballed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happened when we had the communist scare. This is just...
It's kind of like they had never been through stuff before, you know, where they've had the media looking at them like really bad. I mean, it's pro wrestling. There's a lot of bad stuff goes on anyway, so... But...
Yeah, I just would love to see something like that. I would watch wrestling every single day if I could see something like that. No, truly, I would. You know,
yeah.
I watch his press conferences for the same reason. Like, they're so bad, you know, I like to watch them. Yeah, you know, how he treats
cool.
the press and what will he say next, you know. But, I mean, truly, politics or the president's office should not be entertainment, but right now it is.
Yeah. Pretty much, but thank you for calling. Really appreciate you calling in, especially so early
in
the morning.
Yeah, you guys have good shows.
So.
I've enjoyed it. I just never called in. I wanted to know your thoughts on that, and I appreciate it.
On
okay,
a phone.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. What was that company, dude? Lucha USA. Was that what it was called?
There was a Lucha Libre USA. I remember that. I remember that name.
Yeah, that's what it was. And they had the dude who was like, he would do vignettes where he would be at the wall on the border, and he'd be doing like his hate speech, and he'd turn around, and then some mess luchador would jump over the fence and get into the country and shit. That was fucking. That was actually pretty awesome and shit.
I guess
he
when you're
made, like some news shows and shit about that.
I guess when it's okay if you're like in Mexico doing that. I don't know. Maybe for a Mexican company doing that kind of thing, and not like the call.
Well, it was
white or Caucasians.
They did say Lucha, but it was more an American company. I actually went to one of their shows here at the Alamo, though.
Isn't Lucha Underground on Netflix its first couple of seasons now?
No, it's not going to be till like the fall. They didn't get the paperwork.
I heard somewhere in February.
I think that's what they wanted, but I think it's going to be a few months before it's on. So it's going to be like, I don't know, the first year, just the first year so far, maybe one and two. But anyway, let's talk. You want to talk about the animal or you want to talk about the Russian bear?
I'm just blistered from a political phone call. let's go with George Yanos. I don't know that he ever said what he passed away from. I know he's in hospice care, which is always, pretty much the end. So,
I just listened to that breaking audio by Meltzer today, and he said it, but I don't even remember. But
he suffered from Crohn's disease, like since 1988. I don't know what that had anything to do with. I'm not really sure what Crohn's disease is. So, but yeah, he died. He was like when I first started watching WWF. You know, we watched those Saturday Night Main Events. Kim and Savage, like every seemed like they were wrestling each other for a year on those shows.
I remember. Because I started watching WWE way before that, and it was when I first got cable, and on our cable thing, we used to get this station out in New York. Like, they didn't even have the New York newscast. And they'd have, like, horse racing, but not, where you're riding the buggy behind the horse. They'd have that before WWE, or maybe it was after. And every once in a while, they would show, like, a garden show or something, but... That was the first time I would watch it, and he would be on there, and he would be, this is from Backlund was the champion, and he would wrestle Backlund, and he's just one of the most unique looking wrestlers like of all time, because he was kind of short, fat, bald, fucking just ugly, hairy as shit, like long ass hair, like I'm hairy. A little bit, but like his hair would be like three times as long as my hair, and back hair and belly hair and hair basically everywhere but his head, and then he had his tongue painted green, and he acted like he was like almost like a wild animal, and he'd always eat the turnbuckles. And before I started watching him, he would actually cut real promos, but I remember like the first time I ever saw him try to do a promo, basically he was going to have a big match against Bob Backlund in Madison Square Garden, and they had him try and say Madison Square Garden, and it took him like 5 minutes just to say it, because he'd be like, Madison, and he would just go on like that, and he was never a good wrestler, but it was all gimmick, he was just all wild and stuff, and
in reality, I thought we'd wonder hurt so much when they were feeling nothing but stuffing, because he kind of killed
right?
that gimmick.
And in reality, he was a college coach and teacher, and had like a master's degree. And if you ever heard him like talk for real, he was like super intelligent dude. But he was one of those. He was like Baron von Rotsky. He always looked like an old man. What I mean?
He would not wrestle as much during like the winter and the spring. It was the summer when he would wrestle the most, because that was when school was out. School teacher.
And he pretty much wrestling was always his side job until it got big in the 80s, and then he was making more money, and then he just left teaching to become a wrestler. And that was around the time with his stuff. Because he was always a heel, but then he fell in love with Miss Elizabeth, and Randy Savage didn't like that shit, and Randy Savage turned him babyface. And he was very
good.
It
did not make for good matches, but it was a good storyline.
Yeah, remember when he gave her the flowers and Randy took the flowers away and then, started smashing them? And
I remember he tied him up in the ropes and he's smacked him in the face with those flowers. I said, that shit's got to hurt.
Yeah, and then he'd fucking just scream and fucking cuss out fucking Miss Elizabeth. It's like, it was almost uncomfortable.
you thought he was gonna pop her one or something like that.
He made you believe that he did smack her around in the back. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Kinda. Yeah.
You can tell she's scared of him.
Yeah. I mean, she always did have that that terrified look in her. Say what you want about Elizabeth. Some people don't think she was very good. I thought she was, because she was just great at getting sympathy. She just had that. You felt sorry for her. Look.
Yeah.
And
you know that she liked George. That she felt sorry for George.
Yeah. Yeah. Macho Man didn't like that. So, and he had that, did they ever say that this was his sister? But you remember when Uncle Elmer got married on, I forgot what show he got married on.
Saturday Night's Main Event.
So he got married, and his bride is wearing, a wedding dress and a veil. At the end, starts sticking out her tongue, and she's got a green tongue. So was it supposed to be George the Animal Steel's sister, or what the fuck was the deal with that?
I don't know. I just know that what I heard was that Uncle Elmer, that was his legitimate wedding. He really got married to that woman.
Okay, he might have gotten married to her, but that was not a shoot wedding, was it? That's not... Tell me
if that was an actual shoot wedding. I think it might have been.
I have to send that question in for Dave and find out. But
in fact, in one of the observers, it might have been where I read it. I think I still got that observer from when they had that wedding.
Wow. I just remember one time I was listening to Wrestling Observer Live, and just out of the blue, George the Animal still called in. And they were smart enough to keep him on the whole show and shit. Remember when they gave him an electric shock there? They gave him electric shock.
Yeah,
shock
I was going to bring that up. They gave him on TNT. They sent him to Dr. Sigmund Ziff, who was electroshock therapist or something. And they started zapping him, giving him the shock treatments, and all of a sudden he's saying, "How now, brown cow," or something shit like that.
And the way he would hold his
cup
of tea.
Too much and he went crazy.
Yeah. That was actually one of the best things he ever did. He would say he was a shitty wrestler, but just an incredible character.
And actually, Ed Wood, he was in one of my favorite movies. Did you ever see Ed Wood?
I've actually never seen Ed Wood, but I know he was in it.
It's a really good, you'd like it. It's a really good movie. It's about Ed Wood is, what both consider, he's considered the worst director of all time, even though he's probably not, but still. And George the Animal Steel, he plays a wrestler, and I can't remember if it was a real wrestler. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember his name, but it was a real wrestler. I heard Dave talking about it.
Yeah, and he was actually really good in the movie, and I remember when they inducted him into, you remember when they did the small Hall of Fame inductions in the mid-90s?
Yeah.
In the hotel, ballrooms and stuff like that. I remember they had Bill Murray was in Ed Wood and sent a congratulations video to him. So.
Yeah, he was, he was pretty cool.
I think the last time he had to have been on Raw at least once in the last 20 years with some kind of, whenever they bring the legends back, they had to have done that once. I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. He also had his own, I don't know if they sold her or not, but remember he used to have a doll that he used to come, and the doll was furry,
mine, but mine,
ball.
Which is doll. Mine?
Yeah. Had a green
Miami,
doll.
Which,
yeah.
Mine, yeah. That was his doll.
Yeah. And he had a green tongue.
I don't know. They probably did sell a lot of them. I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah. But I guess we can talk about Ivan. Ivan the Russian Bear Kolov.
Yeah, those are the kind of characters the caller was talking about. You know, we had all these these foreign ministers. You had the Russians back in the Cold War. He was, he actually looked like a real Russian too. I think he was Canadian. He looked like he was from Russia.
Yeah, like you knew Nikita wasn't. You knew Nikita was a fake Russian, but I swear to God, I thought Ivan was. And then I remember the first time I ever heard him talk out of kayfabe, and he's talking like a normal person. It's like, what the fuck? It's like the first time you hear Kamala talk.
With all these foreign heels, if you hate it so much, why do you come here? I guess it's the only place you can make money. You can't make money back in your own country or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird.
And he's probably the out of, as far as the worker of all the Russian menace, he was probably by far the best one.
And he was the most successful one.
Yeah.
Most famous one, I think. I mean, he beat Bruno. He ended Bruno's, what, 7-8 year title reign?
I think it was like 8 years, and
yeah, I mean, that was a big freaking deal.
Like the whole crowd just went silent. Like they didn't. That's how shocking it was that they didn't even riot. They didn't. They were just too shocked to even do anything. And then they were like, you know, we better send him somewhere else before they
better get
start
the title on
Pedro. Trying to kill him.
I think they put it on Pedro Morales like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, it was real quick. Yeah. Yeah. So he did that. And then he did the Georgia thing with him and Ole against Dusty.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember him, and for a while he was teaming with Don Coryell. And then
Canoodle.
They got rid of Coryell when they brought in Nikita.
Canoodle.
And then they had
Canoodle.
Oh, Canoodle. Canoodle. I always say his name wrong.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Nikita. And then what the fuck? I forgot what his name was before, but. Well, Khrushchev became a Russian sympathizer.
Yeah.
Barry Darso. Yeah, he became the... And he didn't even try. They didn't even try. I guess he's totally sucked out of Russian accents because they didn't even try. He just talked all normally.
He became Crusher in Mid-South, and he was Barry Darso, you know, dude from Minnesota, you know.
Yeah.
You know, from America, English. He speaks English and everything, so there was no point in like an accent or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And then, you know, they put Nikita, who Nikita got over really because Nikita was like a Russian road warrior, but they were smart. They hit Ivan with him so Ivan could cut the real promos and do all the work and then let Nikita come in and clothesline the shit out of him and get the pin and stuff.
I was checking out Nikita Koloff's shoot interview recently. He's talking about when Nikita Koloff, he did that. He did that in public. He did it at the gyms. They had to, they couldn't get through to him at the gyms. They kept telling him in English about how they need money for the membership. And he acted like he didn't understand. And they said, well, and then they mentioned Ivan's name. And he said, Uncle Ivan? And it's, yes, 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 bring Ivan here. Bring us money for membership. You do that stuff at the gym, stuff like that.
That's funny.
And even change his name. His legal name is Nikita Koloff. Well, which is at least better than Warrior.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny,
remember
I was watching. I saw on this Netflix here, they had this reality show called Preacher's Kids, and
uh-huh.
He's featured on the show. His daughters are on here. He's on here. Like, they got episode with him and his daughters and stuff like that on here. It's pretty neat.
Hmm. One of the main matches I remember with Ivan was, remember when they had the finals of the Bunkhouse Stampede? And basically, all the winners of the Bunkhouse Stampede got in. It was a big cage match. And I just remember him and Dusty were going at it, and someone had brought a weightlifting belt. And, I just remembered he had it kind of like wrapped around Dusty and the fucking thing that the buckle, the thing that goes in the hole, I don't know what the fuck it's called, the thing that goes in the hole of the buckle, fucking went into Dusty's arm like 2 inches. It was fucking, oh man, that was fucking gross.
I was just wondering why they had a battle royal inside of a cage. It was like the stupidest thing I ever heard of.
Yeah, no, that was pretty
It would make it like 10 times harder to get a dude out of the ring.
Yeah.
But like, he's stupid enough to climb that cage, which eventually some people did. So.
Yeah, the barbarian was the one that took like the biggest bump.
But they're over there in this corner where the cage door is, trying to squeeze the dudes like the warlord and the freaking barbarian out just through the corner of the ring through this little bitty hole. Like, Jesus, stupid.
Did you ever see, there was like this short-lived TV show that actually used some of the wrestlers from Georgia?
Rogan?
Was it?
With Lyle Alzado?
Lyle Alzado, okay. I didn't know it was Lyle Alzado or John Matuszek, or who I knew was one of those dudes. But
Lyle
Alzado.
That moonlighted as a wrestler, and they used all the, they used like a bunch of the guys like Flair and Tully and the Road Warriors. And
yeah, I remember
like
one time they had babyface Ivan Koloff.
And
Ivan Koloff was a babyface for a little while. He was on the show.
And actually, Dr. Death played Lyle Alzado's character under the mask when they were doing stuff in the ring. So
I didn't know that.
I think I had to check YouTube because I think it's all one episode up there or something like that.
Yeah, I'd love to check that out again. And he was around for fucking ever. I mean, and he's another one of these guys that always looked old.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the 70s, he looked old. By that Crockett run with Nikita, he really looked old. But he was still, like, in the best shape of all the Russians. I mean, even when he was old, he was in tremendous shape and could go a long time.
Yeah, that was the, this story, the match that got me hooked on professional wrestling was when the Rock and Roll Express beat him and Crusher in that the World Tag Team titles in July of '85, when they had one of their shows with a whole match with the whole hour, like 45 minutes or something like that, and they won the titles. He probably won this match. So
I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Yeah, that's the one that got me. I mean, I think you hear about professional wrestling. Well, the first thing you hear about is all fake. That's the first thing whenever you mention professional wrestling or hear about it. Well, it's all fake. But then when you actually watch it, like, it's just something that hooks you, and they had this match for, like, 45 minutes, and watch the whole thing. I said, shit, I got to see more of this. So.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome. You want to talk about
the big angle with the Road Warriors and the Powers of Pain with the bench press competition? Remember when Ivan was with Paul Jones and the Powers of Pain, Warlord and Barbarian?
Yeah.
And they did the bench press thing, and they rammed Animal's head into one of the barbells, and it knocked the fucking barbell over. And I think it broke the orbital socket on his eye or something like that. I think
he had to wear
really
like a hockey mask for a little while.
Yeah,
he wore the hockey goalie mask, and he was still painted with a spider and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
And it led to, they were having a series of matches. For some reason, you got fucking the goddamn Road Warriors, who were huge, and then you got the Barbarian and the Warlord, who were huge, and they decided that they're going to have a series of scaffold matches, and the Warlord and the Barbarian are like, fuck that shit, we quit. And they went to WWE, so then they had to have
the reason
why
the Road Warriors never came off a scaffold. It's fucking stupid. They're going to break their leg or blow out that. The Warlord would take a bump off scaffold. Can you imagine such a thing?
The Warlord would kill himself. Like the Barbarian, he's athletic enough to where he probably wouldn't kill himself, but the fucking Warlord would have, could have. But since they left, they had to bring in the mess. What the fuck were their names? But it was, they brought in two masks. The Russian Assassins.
Well,
the
one person they brought with, it was Angel of Death.
Angel of Death and Jack Victory.
Well, Angel of Death first, but then Victory came in to replace Ivan when they turned on Ivan in September of '88. So
Jack
Victory played about five different guys in the company, I think. He had about five. I wonder if he got five different paychecks.
And then they would have to take turns falling off the scaffold from the Road Warriors.
I don't mean the Angel of Death. I mean, he was as big as the Warlord, so, you know.
He wasn't that big. He was not that big.
Well, he was a big dude. I mean, you go back and look at the Angel of Death. He was big. He was a big, big guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Warlord
six
is fucking
like
inhuman, dude. He, He was nowhere near the favorite Warlord.
The Warlord, I don't even know how he even fucking wrestled. He looked like he could barely move.
I never really saw him do any wrestling. I just saw people bumping around him.
Yeah.
I remember having to watch him, like, I remember it was so sad watching Tito Santana have the job to the Warlord.
I thought it was cool when they had the little feud with him and Davey Boy in WWF, and he would do those delay vertical suplexes on him, you know, where he holds him up.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Yeah.
I think that after that, he went to, I know he was the start of Smoky Mountain, Ivan was for a little while, and they had a Vladimir Koloff that feuded with the new Fantastics of Tommy or Bobby Fulton and
Jackie Fulton.
And he was one of the first guys when the original ECW started up, Eastern Championship Wrestling, that he worked there. So.
Yeah, he was, like I said, he was around forever. And then also Nicole Bass died. She really just had a cup of coffee in wrestling, like did a little ECW stuff, did a little WWS stuff. She really couldn't wrestle. She just looked like a freak of nature because she was already 6'2", and then would always wear like high heels, so she really looked like fucking monster. I mean, when she was in WWE, she was bigger than like half the guys. She was so jacked up. I mean,
creepy look. God.
She was creepy looking, but I have seen a few photos of her where she actually looked kind of hot, which kind of blows my mind. But for the most part, yeah, most of the time she looked unattractive. But there were a few times like where they like dressed her up and stuff. And then, you know, she was always on Howard Stern and shit. And,
Well, yeah, with all the weirdos.
just big chick. Like I say, a cup of coffee. I mean, she supposedly was really nice. She I guess wasn't the smartest person because when she tried to sue the WWE for like for being sexually harassed, the person she picked that harassed her was a pretty much known gay guy, you know, in the Brooklyn Brawler. So it's like no one believed it because, you know, it's the Brooklyn Brawler. Like maybe if
when people file those lawsuits, they don't think about any of it going to court. They're thinking settlement.
Yeah.
Right?
She should have said, like, Mean Gene, because you know Mean Gene's a dirty old man, but come on, the Brooklyn Brawler? The only worst person would have been Pat Patterson.
Or Mel Phillips. She brought up the thing about the feet. We all know about that.
Yeah. If she would have said he must have said her feet, then yeah, she would have got herself.
The only other thing I heard of her, like after any WWF or ECW or something, I think she got arrested for writing a cop's thumb or something.
For what?
She got arrested for biting a cop on his thumb when she was. I think she was being arrested, or her husband was being arrested, and she bit a cop on the thumb or something.
Oh, okay.
And got arrested. So
I don't know if I remember that.
Actually, I was looking on Netflix, and there's this thing called Lucha Mexico. It's a Lucha Libre documentary. That's only when I was looking for the Lucha Underground stuff. Check that out. I probably won't.
Okay.
It's not because I'm racist. I just don't want to.
No, it's because you're racist. Yeah. But,
The Festival of Friendship this week?
I thought it was one of the best things they've done in a very long time. It was like a cross between The Rock, This Is Your Life, and The Barbershop, where the Rockers broke up.
Yeah, The Rock, This Is Your Life, it was okay, only because when he and I still laugh about this day, when he took as a worker, Toon Tang Pie, and Lawler just fucking loses it. And Lawler was always great, getting over the comedy with the way he laughed. He said, Toon Tang Pie, and he said, JR, you know what that is? Said, yep, you do? And he just, you know, that was back during the puppy days, and he was laughing at everything. And other than that, This Is Your Life segment was pretty bad, even though I think it was like one of the highest rated in history for Monday Night Raw.
Well, When I compare the two, because the Festival of Friendship started off all comedy gaga, and that's basically what the rock thing was. But then it got fucking serious as shit, and that's what the connection with the barbershop with the rockers, because that was pretty, like, he didn't expect
it got great to me when he produced that picture. That was amazing. That was an amazing picture.
Yeah,
They need to put that at like the WWE Access for WrestleMania or something. You know, when they have all the memorabilia and stuff.
Right, they need to have like a museum and put that on there. It's just like,
I mean, I don't know who did that. That person deserves something. That was awesome.
He just thought, I have kids, I can't hang that on my wall. You're not even wearing pants. And then I like when he put the fucking shitty magic dude on the list. And it was awesome. It was just perfectly worked. I mean, it went from like total comedy gaga to then it got real serious when Chris cut that like heartfelt promo. And then fucking Owens did the turn on him. I mean, it was just perfectly booked. I mean, written and everything. That was awesome.
Like he pulled the list out and had list KO on the back. And everybody in the arena is seeing it except Jericho. And then Jericho sees his name and he looks at the back of the list and says, the list is KO. And it was surprising to me because I didn't figure they were going to go with it this early, like before the Goldberg match. Because I figured, you know, he'd want to have Jericho for the Goldberg match, right?
Yeah, you figured he'd have Goldberg kill both of them or he'd kind of like screw up and distract Kevin.
And then they would do the turn
spear
or something like that. So I like that it kind of, you know, was a big surprise and stuff. It was probably the best. I can't remember last time I saw a really good like turn on somebody like this. I really can't remember.
They need to keep Jericho off of TV until the pay-per-view match, and then have him like right before the match. He comes out and Owens gets distracted, and then boom, spear, and then jackhammered, and keep it short. You know, you want to keep everything with Goldberg short as possible.
I know some people didn't like it because they think they're breaking them up too early, but I mean, they got WrestleMania coming up. They just got to have something for those guys to do. Kevin Owens isn't going to be the champion, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a WrestleMania match if there ever was one, right? So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on there. Pretty much everything Dave said is going to be on there is going to be on there, it seems like.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be an okay show, pretty good show, I think. Some people are like mad, but like AJ Styles taking Shane McMahon, but it'd probably be exciting or something like that, you know. So, and AJ will probably win. So,
yeah, AJ is awesome. Shane will jump off of something really high and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't. The only people who really hate it are the people who are all over Bryan's nuts because Bryan hates it so much.
Yeah, no, I mean it's. It'll be more WrestleManias for AJ Styles. This ain't a big deal, people.
Yeah.
You know.
And he'll probably go over, so, I mean, you know.
It's like everybody's flipping out. Oh, John Cena and Randy Orton at WrestleMania. You know they're not wrestling at WrestleMania, you fucking idiots. When Cena won the title.
That are the people complaining about him being in a nothing match teaming with Nikki against The Miz and Maryse. He was in a nothing match WrestleMania in New Orleans against Bray Wyatt, basically. You know what I mean? It's not like you have a main event. You have Brock and Goldberg. You don't need anything else to even come close to shit. Like, you know, it
may not be a big
fine
match,
being in that
up,
match.
But it's a big match for Miz, I think.
Yeah.
Which he deserves a big match because I think he's been one of the better characters the past year.
Yeah, he's doing one of the best things on the SmackDown as far as character and stuff, so.
And that does sound like something that goes to a mixed bag, something you do at WrestleMania or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And then, you know, they're also going to get, like, okay, like when John Cena went on Good Morning America, no one knew who the fuck AJ Styles was. Now you can send both of them out. You can have John Cena do his shit, and you know Miz is going to be perfectly fine and great doing talk show shit or news things, because you know that's one thing he's really good at. So you know what I mean? They'll be able to they'll get on a lot of shows and get a lot of plug for WWE from non actual like wrestling like non wrestling stuff. They'll get plug from like Entertainment Tonight and shit like that because of it. And then, you know, you got Nikki Bella, who's on E, you know, one of the E reality stars. So, honestly, that match where the hardcores might not think it's a big fucking deal, people outside of wrestling will look at it as a big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a problem with
that. He's going to be a pretty – I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be, like, Rock-level movie star, but he's getting there. He's getting to be a big, pretty big star outside, you know, WWE.
I mean, he's gotten good reviews on the last few things he's done as far as the movies. I think he actually really had sex with Chelsea Heltler or whatever her name is.
He did what with who now?
I think he actually he filmed a sex scene with that, what's her name, that one blonde chick from that one movie. I think they actually had sex when they were filming them.
I don't know about that. That one blonde chick from that one movie. That didn't film much.
Chelsea Handler? Chelsea Handler? Yeah.
I know the name. I don't know who these women are these days.
She's like a blonde comedian.
From like TV and stuff like that. Unless it's on Netflix or Hulu or something. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I've seen, you know how like they have like on Facebook, you'll see the links to like 10 actors that actually had sex during the movies, and I swear to God, they're in like one of the pictures for one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes, you know, I saw a picture of somebody like on one of those lists, and that picture ain't got that person aiming on that fucking list.
Yeah.
Let's get that, give me the click that fucking thing, and I get pissed off, so I don't do it no more. You know?
Yeah.
So. And I didn't realize that they'd already started filming this movie about Paige and her family. You see this?
Why is Jake Snake Roberts in it? What kind
is of... he? Jake Snake Roberts is in it?
Well, it's Vince Vaughn is playing Jake the Snake Roberts. So it's Vince Vaughn, so it seems like it's got to be a decent part. You know what I mean? It's like, what
no,
does Jake have to do with the family?
Who is Thea Trinidad? Where do I know that name?
Rosita.
She's playing Adrian Lee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's Tessa Blanchard playing?
Who's what?
Who's Tessa Blanchard playing?
I don't know. Is she in this movie?
Yeah, she's in it because she was supposed to be on Wrestling Circus this Sunday, but she had to cancel because she's in Hollywood filming the movie.
This Silver Page is weird. I don't know what she's... with some guy, he seems like a nut. They're making a film about her family. It's also weird.
Well, it's very interesting. I don't know how it would work as like a full movie thing, but one thing that's funny is like for like the past 2 years, everyone's favorite internet troll Rover has been anytime people talk about, oh, they should sign Tessa, and he'll be like, why would they sign Tessa? They haven't signed her for a reason. She's not a good worker, this, that, just always anti-Tessa. And now that her and Tia Trinidad are doing the movie, now he's like, oh, well, now maybe WWE will hire him. He's like totally doing like a 180 on his time. You shut the fuck up. But hopefully it'll get her signed because she's fucking awesome.
I was mad because I thought I was watching a documentary on a pro wrestler the other day. It turned out to be some war movie.
I thought I was going to watch a wrestling documentary.
I clicked on it and it was some war movie. It was called Hacksaw Ridge. I thought it was the Battle of Hacksaw Butch Ridge.
Butch Ridge. Butch Reed.
Oh, okay. They swore for me.
Oh,
sorry, I've been waiting a week to make that horrible joke.
That was fucking horrible. You should have waited like 2 years.
Great fucking movie, though. You should
pick
it out. Great fucking movie.
What would be a better movie? A movie about Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Hacksaw Butch Reed, or Hacksaw Higgins?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, because I would like to see when they pull him and the Sheik over.
Yeah, that would be pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah,
doing a scene where Vince McMahon tells Butch Reed he's got to fucking bleach blonde his hair, that'd be kind of interesting.
I was looking to see if anybody else was in this. And I think is this a WWE film?
Yeah, it's part of it. It's like conjunction with like The Rock's thing in WWE films.
I'm surprised that Rock, because Rock's never gotten involved in WWE films. I think because they've been looked at so poorly.
Well, he's not in it. He's just making it.
Yeah.
It might actually get a release, like in certain theaters and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I saw a preview for, I don't know if this is a WWE movie. I think it is a WWE movie. It's with the John Cena and... Did you ever see the Godzilla movie that came out a couple years ago?
The newer one or the one that's...
Yeah, the newer one that came out in like 2014.
Yeah, where you found like some praying mantises or something.
Yeah, he played the young guy that was in... I think his name is Aaron Taylor Johnson, played the guy that was in the army that had the wife and the kid. You know what I'm talking about? And
yeah.
And they like play snipers. Film's called like The Wall, where like the whole film is like Cena gets caught out, and snipers like got him down, and there's this wall separating Aaron Taylor Johnson's character from the sniper, and it's like the whole thing or something like that. I saw a preview of it. It looks pretty good.
I have no idea.
I'm wondering, when does the Glow series start on Netflix? Isn't that kind of, that something that's coming on Netflix?
Yeah, hopefully pretty soon. I always liked the documentary they had on it.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Should be on pretty soon. And then Netflix always does a good job with their shit, so hopefully it'll be pretty good.
Yeah. We got anything else you want to talk about? Or?
No, I actually want to go to bed so I can get some sleep before I have to hit the road to Austin and stuff.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and end the show. And, all right, let me hit the theme music. All right, everyone, come back next week and we'll talk to everybody. Oh, I haven't even done the plugs. I don't even know how fucking long. Let me do the plug. Everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrere. Got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. I've got recently put up some USWA, about 47 episodes. Well, I didn't put up. I just made a playlist of stuff that's already up there of USWA from 1991. And, yeah. Hey, Ed, I want to ask you, have you ever played these Batman Arkham video games?
No, but I've watched Leva Bates play them on her Twitch stream.
Dude, these are fucking awesome. I got, like, for Christmas, I got Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. These are the best games I've ever played in my life. Jesus Christ. I mean, if you're a fan of Batman and superheroes, I mean, man, this is so much fun.
They seem, like, very complicated. As far as like,
it's really not. I mean, it's on some parts you got to use your head, but I mean, it's not like it's really, really hard or anything. But I mean, so far I've defeated Deadshot, Mr. Freeze, the Riddler, got to fight the Joker, Scarecrow, Deathstroke. I got to fight him. You know, I mean, it's anybody that you've ever seen in like these Batman things. I mean, you get to fight them, and you get to, and then the third one, you get to use the Batmobile, which is like freaking cool as hell.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. I know you don't listen to all of Brian's shows, but have you heard him plugging the shit out of the website? It has its own store at Pro Wrestling Tees.
I saw some advertisement for the shirts on there one day.
Okay, well, on all the radio shows, he gets crazy plugging it. It's his big thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna totally ruin it for him.
Okay.
Because this week, and I'm gonna make sure it doesn't come out until like maybe the Tuesday show or maybe the Thursday show. But on the F4W Wrestling Observer Pro Wrestling Tee Store, it's coming, the first ever in San Antonio shirt. And I know that once he sees that, he's not going to plug the store no more. So he wants to fucking ban me on Facebook. I'm going to ruin his big thing that makes him all happy now. And
he banned you on Facebook?
Fucking blocked me on Facebook.
What for?
I think it was because he got mad because I was posting about how he fucked up with that Triple H interview. And he didn't do it right away.
Like
10 I think
minutes?
He waited like a week. And then Well, dude, I mean, come on. It's funny because like a day later he's trying to say, oh, well, they emailed me back. They're not angry no more, this and that. It's like, come on, dude. It's a fucking, you're not interviewing Triple H because he wants to do an interview. Triple H would never do the fucking show, but he's on one of those fucking publicity tours because of the fucking, the Penguin movie that came out, or DVD or whatever.
The Penguin movie.
So, yeah, there's a Penguin movie, and John Cena and Triple H and a few other people were penguins. Big jacked up penguins. Well, that's why Triple H was on the show, was to plug this fucking movie, right? So basically what you do is you get them for like 5 to 10 minutes, and you plug the movie, and then maybe you'll get a couple questions you can ask. First thing Brian does is he gets Triple H on, and he goes, oh, we'll talk about the movie later. I mean, granted, they were plugging the movie the whole Wrestling Observer Live, you know what I mean? But they're not listening to that. There's when you get a guy from WWE doing one of these tours, you don't just have him on the line. You have his fucking handler on the line to make sure shit doesn't go out of hand or off script, and they butt in and they end the interview if they don't like how it's going. So fucking right off the bat, bro, we'll talk about the movie later, which is like stupid because just get the plugs out of the way early. You're supposed to get like 10 minutes. Get him out early, then maybe Triple H will be cool and maybe he'll want to talk wrestling. But no, right off the bat, you're throwing the movie to the side. So right off the bat, you know the handler's like, what the fuck? And then here's the really stupid part. This is what I don't get, is you got the dude for 10 minutes. So if you got questions you want to ask the dude, you need to come out and ask those questions. Well, that's not what he fucking did. He asked setup questions to lead up to his big questions. You got 10 fucking minutes. You ain't got time to fucking ask fucking ridiculous setup questions. Especially questions that the handler's even going to get more pissed off and be like, what the fuck? So basically, he's asking his shit about watching Shawn Michaels and him with the big sausage and shit from like DX back in the day. So then, he had the dude just cut in. They edited him out, but the handler cut in and pretty much ended the interview. And it's funny because they're talking about just bullshit, and all of a sudden Triple H starts plugging the movie. And that's because the guy he cut in and Triple H had to plug the fucking movie on his own. So I posted about Brian's fucked up. He's supposed to have him on there to plug this movie. He didn't do it. Triple H had to do it himself. That's just going to piss the WWE off, and there's no more chance of fucking them getting interviews. So he didn't like that. And then after the interview was over, they emailed him and said that they were pissed off and they didn't like the interview. I guess maybe the next day they heard the whole show and heard him plugging it, the whole thing, and then they're like, oh, they made nice the next day. But you know they were pissed off that day, and you know Triple H is just like shaking his head like, what the fuck? I mean, Brian made himself look stupid, and he made the website look stupid. I don't give a fuck what he says now that, oh, well, they're fine with it. Now, well, they weren't fine with it that fucking day, and you should be fucking smarter than that. You only got him there to plug the movie. Plug the movie and then ask your questions. And then even if you're not, why are you asking a stupid setup question? Just ask them what you fucking want to ask. You got 10 fucking minutes. You don't have a fucking hour. You know what I mean? It's like, so he got mad because I criticized him about that.
Did he ban the like 100 people that called him out on his bad interview from the board when then that one thread on the board about the Triple H interview said it was so shitty? He banned them from the board.
He
didn't ban anybody from the board.
I have no idea.
I just laughed my ass off at the beginning. But then we got Triple H online, and there's the dial tone, and I just said, that's perfect right there. Yeah. Like, he's already hung up on your ass.
Yeah. And then he's being fucking... It's so funny, dude, because, okay, you know, me and Brian have been trolling each other for years, right? Friendly trolling.
Yeah, that's your gimmick.
Yeah, well, he works himself with fucking Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels now. And now he's all pissed off at me. He won't plug the fucking rest of... I know he's not going, but Dave's fucking going for a few days. I'm going. Peach is going. There's still a shitload of people from the website going. So Tony, his brother-in-law, he's been awesome. Because there's a fucking page. There's like an advert that, like, let's say you click on, oh, this is what's going on in the UK wrestling. You click on that, and then you'll see an advert where there's a fucking advertisement for the Vegas convention and WrestleMania shit, and you click on it, it takes you to a page with all the info. And it's on the update every day. So as far as the website plugging shit, that's been awesome. But there ain't been shit on the radio, and Tony's like, because Tony knows that he's worked himself into a shoot now and fucking hates me or whatever. So he's like, I'll talk to Brian. You know, we'll do all this on the website, but I'll talk to Brian. Don't talk to Brian. He's basically telling me I can't contact fucking Brian, dude. And so I'll tell him, okay, you know, it'd be nice if we, you know, they're going to, it's Royal Rumble. It's leading up to WrestleMania. It'd be a perfect time for a plug. But he's still not fucking plugging shit on the radio. And there was one Brian and Vinny show where Vinny kind of stops the show because he's, oh, I got an email from admin Tony. And then you just hear Brian, oh, he's going through you now? Like, basically saying that he's been ignoring his own brother-in-law when his brother-in-law's asking him to plug Vegas or WrestleMania shit. So then Vinny kind of doesn't really have a plug. He's just plugging that one page with the information. And then Brian's like, oh, that's a shitty plug. And who's even going? You know what I mean? Trying to make it sound like it's not worth it. You know what I mean? It's like, it, you know, I know you hate me, but goddamn, it's still like 50, maybe more of your fucking website people who pay you every month that are going. And wouldn't you want to help them out? Let them know when they can go have dinner with Dave, or they can ride my bus and not have to deal with fucking all the other bullshit just getting to the show. But no, you can't plug it because you're fucking mad at me because I fucking said
that's probably
bad
where
things
most people
about
would
you.
Hear a plug would do the most good. You know, sometimes
yeah,
it's funny.
That's the thing. Like I said,
something
website,
on the website.
The website thing. Yeah, like, I've been doing this shit for years. Whenever they plug shit on the Dave show especially, I'll get 4 or 5 emails from people I've never heard from before asking me questions about stuff. So if they would do just a few more, like, I think I'll wait till next week and I'm going to get on Tony. Well, not get on Tony because I've been really cool. He's been real cool with me. You know what I mean? And yeah. I told him straight out. He's like, I'll take care of Brian. I'll get stuff on the radio. I'm like, dude, it's a lot harder than that. I don't care if you're his brother-in-law. It's a lot harder than that. I go, this is exactly how it works with me and Brian every year. I send an email that's very polite, nice. I say thank you. I say please. Totally professional. As nice as I can be. I get no response. I get no plug. I send 3 or 4 more of the same emails. I get nothing. No plugs. Then I send an email where I'm like, what the fuck, asshole? Why are you being a fucking dick? Fucking plug the fucking shit. And then he responds to me. He gets all pissed off. You know, sends pissed off emails back to me. But he plugs it on the radio show. Right? So then, okay, you know, I'll tell him, okay, that's all I wanted was a plug. Good job, this and that. I'll go back. I'll send 3 or 4 more totally nice, polite emails. I'll get nothing. Then I'll send the angry one. Fucking plug the goddamn thing. And then he gets mad at me again, but then he plugs it. You know what I mean? And it's like rinse and repeat, WrestleMania. Rinse and repeat, Vegas. Same thing over and over again. It's like, why do you wait till I fucking have to send 5 emails and fucking yell at your ass when you could have done it the first time and we could still be friends? You know what I'm saying? It's like everyone thinks it's me. Everyone thinks that I'm the dick. I'm not the dick. I become the dick because he's a fucking asshole. That's why. So I told Tony, and Tony's like, no, I'll get it. I'll take care of it. And he's had very little success so far. So I'll wait, like I say, I think we're 5 weeks out, so I'll wait one more week and stuff. Because I still got like 10 seats I need to fill on the bus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got one guy who's that I talked to today who's going to, he's bringing 7 people. So basically, I'm not going to lose any money anymore on it, which I was thinking I might be doing for a while. But like I said, I got 10 more people, so hopefully I can get a fucking radio plug here or there. And then, like I say, Dave's coming to dinner. You know, everyone thinks no one's coming, but Dave's going to be at the fucking dinner and shit. So, anyway, that's the shit I've been having to deal with the fucking Brian. And why
would you do make a Sunny Days comment or something on Facebook or something like that?
No, it was just me bitching about him being stupid on the interview, which he was.
I know.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send his wife one of my T-shirts. And I'm going to have her put it on and wear
like?
It without telling
what
her.
What do they look like? What do they look like?
It's going to look like the Las Vegas sign. The welcome to Las Vegas. Welcome to fabulous mm-hmm. Las Vegas. But instead of the star, it's going to have the tilde bang. And it's going to say, welcome to the fabulous Ed in San Antonio. And then underneath it'll say F4W/Wrestling Observer Convention. I didn't put Vegas because, you know, you could use it for the WrestleMania meetup or Vegas kind of a thing. But it's going to say Ed in San Antonio.
Get it made into a onesie for his child and send it.
Right? I should do that. So I'm gonna take his love for his pro brother. And then maybe by some miracle, there'll be other people who are sick and tired of hearing about him plug his fucking -5-star shirt. And then could you imagine if my shirt actually outsold his shirt, dude? He'd have a conniption and fucking die. That's what he would happen. So hopefully, and I'm going to buy a bunch of them and I'm going to give them all to like all the female wrestlers that I know. And I'm going to get them to mm-hmm. take a photo with it and fucking tweet Brian and wrestlingobserver.com. I'm going to have some fun at his expense to make up for being banned from Facebook. And not plugging shit that he needs to plug. But anyway, we'll go ahead and end the show on that, and we'll talk to everybody next week, hopefully. I don't know, Couture disappears for months at a time. I don't even know if Craig's still alive if I didn't hear him on the Brian and Vinny show. So, anyway, we'll talk to everybody later.
You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is off to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.